To those that are visiting today, we do want to welcome you. We appreciate very much your attendance at the beginning of our gospel meeting. We've been inviting as many as we possibly can to get ready for this gospel meeting, to come and be a part of it with us. And we'd like to let you know that there will be a potluck dinner afterwards. We'd like to get better acquainted with you. After the service concludes, we'll meet out in the fellowship hall, which you just go out the foyer to the left hallway and into any of the doors on the left, and it enters into our fellowship hall. We'd love to have you to come and be a part of that, and there'll be some of the best food you ever put in your mouth. So I hope that you'll come to that. But we do have services throughout this week, all the way through Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock every other night, Monday through Wednesday, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of any of those and all of those if you can. Brother Mike Bonner is with us for our gospel meeting. He'll be the speaker throughout this entire week. Brother Mike labors with the church at 5th and Grape Streets in Abilene, Texas. And how long have you been there, brother? I don't remember.
3 years.
Three years. 3 years. And before that, he's worked in San Antonio and some other places, but he also is a graduate of the Southwest School of Preaching in Austin, Texas. That's where our paths first crossed. And I appreciate very much Brother Mike. I've known and heard about his good work through others, and we appreciate his time this week. We've also heard him in our Bible class just preceding this. Did a great job as a kickoff to all of the lessons this week, and we're looking forward to all of the lessons that he'll be bringing to us. Heaven is our goal is what the theme is, and I hope that that is our goal, and that we will push fervently toward that goal throughout the entire course of this week, and plan to attend every service throughout this special series. Earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week, I don't remember, Floyd Johnson had come over to visit, and he saw that picture up there. And he said, "Is Mayor Glover coming to preach?" So I told Brother Mike last night, I said, "Some have said you look like Mayor Glover." I said, "Now that I've seen you again in person," I said, "you really don't." But maybe we should have advertised that one affectionately known as Mayor Glover will be with us, because we might have had more attendance. But what he, and this is no disrespect to our mayor, but what Brother Mike is going to present to us is going to be much more important words than what Mayor Glover would say to us, because he's going to exalt the Word of God.
That's right.
He's going to preach Christ and Him crucified.
That's right.
And the unsearchable riches of Christ are going to be extended to us all. So Mike is a great preacher and a good friend. We hope that you'll pick up your Bibles now, and let's open it up and listen attentively to the Word of God. Brother Mike.
It's good to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And truly, this is what we're here for. That's to worship God. You know, I know we're having a gospel meeting on this week, but we're here to worship God, because He is the one to be glorified and He is the one to be praised. And when I thought about the theme for this gospel meeting, in my life, there is no other thing that I want to do or want to go other than heaven. But I know that in order for me to go to heaven, or anyone, we must do the will of God. We must work out our salvation, as the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse number 12, with fear and trembling. We must glorify and honor our God, must carry the gospel out to this known world. And the reason why we need to do this is because this is the commandment that has been given to us by our God. And truly, if we do the things that God has outlined in His word for us to do, because, here it is, we love Him. we love God. And I truly believe that when men and women obey the gospel, they do it because, number one, they don't want to go to hell, but because of that relationship that has been developed over a period of time, they grow to love God. And then they want to go to heaven because God is there. So when I think about our goal this week, is to center our minds on heaven and to try to get others to see that they should have that same desire. That's to go to heaven. Thankful to Brother Hunter and to the elders here for allowing me to come. And I was telling them that being recommended by Jason Rollo is not always a good thing, but I'll take it. Now, Brother Rollo is a great friend. Love Brother Rollo, love his passion. I love his stance for the truth. And I can honestly say that he is truly a man of God. And I'm thankful to him, and I'm thankful to for his love that he has for God. Is the gospel outdated? Powerful question. You know, we live in a time today where things are updated because they have gotten outdated. There was a time when I was a kid when computers were as big as mainframes, you know what they look like, as big as cars. But now you can fit a computer in the size of a cell phone. Well, the mainframe needed to be updated because it got outdated. There was a time in which, well, some of us, some of y'all may know, of the first cars that came out, Model T. You had to crank it from the front. Now you can sit in the comforts of your own home at the click of a button and have that thing running, heating up and cooling off while you're still doing some things in the house. How would you like to have to go outside today and crank your car up in the front until it cranked up, till those points and condensers got together, and next thing you know, spark and fuel got together and combustion takes place and it cranks up? But now we don't have to do that. We can just press a button and the car will crank up. Well, the Model T was outdated. Thanks be to God, it was updated. And now we can have the comforts of having a vehicle that can crank up even from the comforts of our Lazy Boy. What about our political realm? There was a time in which men and women had to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in order even to be a politician in the United States, but those days are far gone. What about the gospel? You know, about 8 months ago, a sister came up to me and she brought me a bag of tracts, good tracts. Tracts with truth in it that stood firm on the Word of God. And she said that a brother in Christ had given her those tracts out of the trash can because they were outdated. We needed to do something a little bit more updated. Hurt her to her heart and hurt me to my heart. That good information was thrown in the trash can. He said that we need to update our doctrine. We need to bring something that is more appealing to the world. Isn't that a shame? On February the 12th, 2010, in the Abilene Reporter News, there was a gathering of men who were gathering for religious purposes. And they were so excited that all of the denominations came together and put aside their denominational differences and focused in on those things that they had in common. They were so elated. And we know that Abilene is like modern day Athens.
They were so elated because of that. And their attitude was is that we're able to get together in the name of Jesus Christ, even though we have differences today. The gospel. The gospel, brethren, is not outdated. And it doesn't need to be updated. It needs to be preached and obeyed. We do not have to mingle with those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do not have to conform our minds to their doctrine. And we don't have to be in their circle of friends in order to get the gospel out to them. What we must do is be that city that is set upon a hill, that light of the world, to go out amongst them and teach them what thus saith the Lord. I'm choosing my words very carefully. And the reason why is because we want to make sure that we speak the truth in love. Not trying to offend anyone. Not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. However, when the word of God goes forth, it usually does that. As a matter of fact, even as children of God, as a Bible student myself, I am sometimes hurt and offended by what the word of God says. But because I know God loves me, I am willing to conform my mind to the very image of God, his son, Jesus Christ. Brethren, when we stop and we think about the gospel cannot be updated. It's not outdated. It cannot be changed. It must be obeyed. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, we notice something that is very important in this very passage of Scripture. Here, the Apostle Paul, as he is writing to the church at Corinth, reminding them of the things in which they already obeyed. This was nothing new to the church at Corinth. When we stop and we think about the church at Corinth, think about division. In chapter 1, here the Apostle Paul was getting on the church of Corinth because they were divided among preachers. I am of Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I am of Christ. In chapter 2, we see the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. We notice that there were some who was following the wise or the philosophers of that time, and then there was those who were doing that which was right, and they were following Jesus Christ. They were divided. In chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, we deal with things of morality. They were taking each other to court. They had a man that had his father's wife. They were violating each other's consciences. They were just divided at the church at Corinth. Chapter 9, chapter 10, they had a problem paying Paul. Chapter 10, they used Israel as an example. Chapter 11, they were misusing the Lord's Supper as a common meal. Chapter 12, 13, and 14, we notice the regulation of spiritual gifts. We understand that in chapter 13, that love is the governing factor of those spiritual gifts, and that they should desire love instead of the prophesying or the tongues that they were trying to vie for. Chapter 15, we come to this very powerful passage of Scripture dealing with the resurrection, closing this wonderful book in chapter 16. So when we stop and we think about, well, the gospel, we can't help but to look at verses 1 through 8. And when we think about the gospel is defined in the word of God. We notice in verses 1 through 4 that it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. But brethren, I believe sometimes we miss out on another aspect of what the gospel is, which is found in verses 5 through 8, which is the very appearance of Christ, which shows us that God himself wanted to prove that he raised his son from the dead. And he proved it to all of those who were among him. Isn't it ironic that when we obey the gospel, that we are immersed into Christ, we're raised out of the water, And the Bible tells us that we are to walk in newness of life, going out appearing unto men that we have been changed. We have been transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We're not to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and stay in the pews. However, we are to go into the mission field and show that we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. But there are those who try to change the gospel, try to update the gospel, saying that it is outdated. Brethren, the gospel is not outdated. The gospel is very much updated from the time in which it was preached to right now as we are preaching it this morning. And the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring forth the same results as it did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. The gospel has the power to save man from his or her sins. Romans 1 and verse number 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is not outdated, brethren. The gospel has the same dynamite, the same power, the same thrust. And this is why we should not try to update the gospel, change the gospel, but we ought to just preach and live by the gospel. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Jesus Christ. And this is what we stand on as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. As members of the Lord's church, brethren, this is what we're standing on. This is the crux of our Christianity. For if the gospel is not true, we might as well leave the pulpit and go out into the world. As a matter of fact, we rely upon the gospel. We rely upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with those things being said, brethren, I can't help but to know and to feel and to think that what people are doing to the gospel today is wrong. Paul said in Galatians 1 in verse number 6, if you turn your Bibles there, now I'm an old country preacher. I like to have brethren read. So I like to have brethren read. Now I'm preparing you now. I might give you a break this morning, but I'm letting you know Monday through Wednesday, somebody's going to be reading up in here. Amen. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would change, meaning pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, no, this is not going to happen. There were those in this particular time, Judaizing teachers, and what they were doing, they were telling the Gentile people, those Christians who were baptized into Christ, that they had to be circumcised alongside of being immersed into Christ. That they needed to keep some of the laws of Moses alongside of the laws of Christ. But brethren, this was not true. And the Apostle Paul, as he rebuked them, he was telling them that that's a perverted gospel. And there are some today who are perverting the gospel today, who are trying to say that the gospel is outdated and we need to change if we're going to win people to Jesus. Brethren, we cannot win people to Jesus unless we use the word of God. Why? Because salvation is in Christ. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is what shows us how to get in Christ. The gospel is not outdated. The gospel doesn't need to be updated. The gospel doesn't need to be changed. The only thing we need to do is obey the gospel. Brethren, let us obey the gospel. Let us have the mentality that we're going to allow the word of God to change our minds instead of changing the word which cannot be changed. And it's unfortunate that we live in a world today that are trying to change the word, trying to change that which came out of the very mind of God. But brethren, we cannot and must not do that. Four quick points and the lesson is yours. Number one, the gospel is spiritual. This is a spiritual message from a God who is divine, who is superior, who has sovereignty, who rules all things, who knows all things, who is omnipresent. He is the one that brought forth this message, brought forth this word to give us certain things that only he and he alone can give. Number one, God is the only one that can offer salvation. For the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2, and I'm glad the air came on in verse number 10, that salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Why? Because God put it there. And the only way that a man can get in Christ is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through the resurrection, through the burial, through all those things that God has in place in his word for us to be saved. To be saved from the wrath of God. To be in Christ. Brethren, the gospel is so important that it puts us in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, for we are all the sons of God through faith. For as many of you that have been baptized, literally in the Greek, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. Meaning that you have clothed yourself with Christ. All of us who woke up this morning, we got all washed up. And then we put some clothing on. We got inside our clothing. Our clothing didn't get inside of us. Same thing when we obey the gospel. When we obey the gospel, God puts us in Christ. Galatians 3, 26, 27. But also when we obey the gospel, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, God puts us in the church. He adds us to the church. For by one spirit are you all baptized into one body. And the body is the church. Acts 2 and verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. The gospel does this. So when a man or a woman says that the gospel is outdated, or we don't have to obey the gospel in order to be saved, brethren, what they're wanting to do is to obey something that God has not instilled or installed or put into his word. Jesus said in Mark 16, and verses 9 through 20. And let me go ahead and say this. There are some scholars today in Abilene, Texas, and you probably know some here, who are saying that Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 is not inspired. Isn't that a sad commentary? Isn't that sad that someone would impugn our God that way? Jesus said in verse 15 and 16, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the euangelion, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, I'll give people that. If you want to say that Mark 16, 9 through 20 is not in the Bible, okay, I'll go somewhere else and find the same language. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Same language. Peter said the same thing in Acts 2, in verse number 36 through 38. Same language. Please do not allow the world to dictate what you know the Word of God says. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that puts us in the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ that puts us in Christ. And when we stop and we think about these things, brethren, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that puts us in a position to have all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1, verse 3 and following, which is in Christ Jesus. The gospel. That's God's power to save. And brethren, it is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not worldly. Number two, the gospel is salvational. And these points are going to overlap. However, we still need to get them. It's salvational because what it does, it saves us from the wrath of God. But not only from the wrath of God, it puts us in a position to have the abundant life. Jesus said in John 10 and verse number 10, for the thief come to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we can have a great life down here and we don't have to wait till we get to heaven? We can have a great life right now. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is the best life a man can live. The Christian life is the best life a woman can live. The Christian life is the best life a teenager can live. And we live in a world today where we're looking at all of these artists, we're looking at the actors and the actresses, we're looking at these who are on our televisions, and they are our icons when Jesus ought to be our icon. Brethren, the gospel is salvational. Man cannot be saved outside of the gospel. When a person says that baptism is not essential for salvation, they're saying that man can be saved without the gospel. They're saying that man can be saved without the blood of Christ. For in 1 Peter 1 in verse number 16 through 18, really focusing in on verse number 18 and 19 to be exact, that we have been purchased with the blood of Christ. For we were not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold by your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. Brethren, do we believe that still? We need to stay in the Word of God so we can continue to believe the gospel. It's still salvational. It still saves us. Can we bring it down a little bit? I feel like I'm a little loud. Or maybe I'm just loud. The gospel is salvational. We contact the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. The only way that we can contact the blood of Christ is through baptismal immersion in Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. There the Bible tells us that baptism does now also save us. That's part of the gospel. God wants us to be immersed into Christ. Why? Because this was his plan that he outlined before the foundation of the world, that Jew and Gentile would be in the same body. They're going to go in the same way, Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 10. And when we stop and we think about these things, shouldn't we do it the way that God has outlined it instead of coming up with our own way? That was Naaman's problem in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. He wanted his own way of salvation. He wanted to go dip in other rivers instead of the River Jordan. But if he wanted to be healed from his leprosy, he needed to be baptized in Jordan. Gospel, the gospel is salvational. But then, the gospel is not only salvational, the gospel is social. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about a social gospel. The gospel is social, meaning that because of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, what God has done for us through his Son, we ought to be social with one another. Galatians chapter 2, turn your Bibles there. In Galatians chapter 2, we come across Paul and Peter. And the Bible tells us, starting in verse number 8. Start at verse 7 and we'll drop down. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel, the uncircumcised, had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised, that's the Jews, also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desire only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, listen to this, brethren, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. Why, Paul, did you stand Peter to his face? Well, let's see what the Bible says. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Hold on. Peter knew better than this. Peter himself was not acting in accordance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here he was eating with the Gentiles, but here come his Jewish brethren, his counterparts, his friends. He did not want to be seen with the Gentiles. If anybody should have known that the Gentiles were going to be part of this fellowship, part of the church, be recipients of the gospel, it was Peter. For it was Peter that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 16 that he was going to give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It was Peter in Acts chapter 10 before he went to the house of Cornelius when he saw that veil come down and he called that which God had made clean, unclean. And God told him, do not call that which I have cleansed, unclean. If anybody should have known that the Gentile world was going to be part of the church, it should have been Peter. Peter should not have acted in this way. He was not acting sociable. The gospel of Jesus Christ, when we obey it and we understand it, it puts us in a position to be mindful that the gospel is for all. We sung that this morning. Before we gave of our means, we sung that. Notice what the Bible goes on to say. Verse number 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Notice what the Bible says. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul, what are you telling Peter? Why are you acting this way? You know that these are our brethren. The church was at a very pivotal point right here, Brother Hunter. What if Paul would have let that go? He'd have split that church right down the middle. He'd have showed the Gentiles that even though Christ died for you, you're really not significant in the plan of God. But Paul got in his face and he said, you know better. And you know what? Brethren, we have to be careful that we are mindful that the gospel is for everybody. For everybody. What's my encouragement here? My encouragement is for us to talk to everybody and whom we come in contact with, to be that example. Does that mean that we're going to sit down and study with everyone? We know that that's not possible. But we ought to have the mentality and the mindset and the attitude and the enthusiasm to talk to everyone about the gospel. Amen. It's not outdated. It doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be changed. The only thing we need to do is study it and teach it to people that they may be saved. That's all we need to do. Last point. We talked about the gospel being spiritual, the gospel being salvational, the gospel being social. But this is the part that I really love. The gospel is sacrificial. It is no way that we can really enjoy salvation without the death of someone. God gave his only begotten son. God gave up the best of heaven for us. But not only for us, brethren, but for the world. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to sacrifice as well. He wants us to give up some things that will bring glory to him. And that's tough. Because we live in a country that there's not a lot of sacrificing going on now. It used to be. But now, I mean, we have everything at our disposal. Brethren, we have to sacrifice. God gave up the ultimate sacrifice by giving us his son, by giving us a sinless offering, a sacrifice for us. You remember when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah? Y'all remember that? And he was about to offer up his son. The angel of the Lord told him to stay his hand, for he knew that he loved the Lord. Abraham was able to see his son continue to live. But no one stayed the hand of God. God went through with the sacrifice for us. When man says that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ means nothing, brethren, they're believing an outdated, an updated, a distorted, a perverted gospel. Is the gospel outdated? It's not. Brethren, let's hold fast to the gospel, to the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Jesus Christ. Let's not waver. I know the world around us, the church, even in some locations, are leaving the truth. We understand that. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the truth. I saw a poster back there in the senior class. Stand for the truth, even when you have to stand alone. Hold on. As a Christian, I'm not standing alone. Standing with God. For the Apostle Paul said that all forsook him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, but the Lord was with him. God is with us, brethren. We have to believe that. Let's stay with the gospel, for it is not outdated. We may sound strange to a lot of people, but that's okay. I have this slogan that I always say to myself, as long as God is pleased, that's all that matters. Man might not like it. As a matter of fact, I don't even like some of the things I do myself. So I know that I can't even please myself all the time. So I know I'm not going to be able to please y'all all the time. But as long as God is pleased, that's all that matters. And to every gospel preacher that is here this morning, stand for the truth. Preach the gospel, for God is standing with you. Maybe you're not a child of God. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ, which we saw today, is what is needed to be obeyed in order to be saved. Obey that. Obey this perfect plan that God had put in place to have your sins washed away. Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked to their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what the gift of the Holy Spirit is? It's found in verse number 39. And the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Eternal life. God had promised us eternal life if we would just obey his son. Do we believe that? We have to believe that. Believe that. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will give you a crown of life if you live faithful. Maybe you're a child of God and your mind has been changing concerning the gospel. You've been thinking, well, maybe they have a point. Well, maybe we're too conservative. Well, maybe they're right. Brethren, if the Bible says it, the Bible is right. And as long as we stay with the Bible, we're okay. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.